Good evening, I am Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this ninth Sunday after Pentecost, proper 12, year B. Our readings for today, 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 to 15, Psalm 14, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 14 to 21, and the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 1 to 21. Let us pray. The Lord is here, and we will praise Him. The Lord is here, and we will worship Him. The Lord is here, and we will trust Him. The Lord is here, and we will honor Him. The Lord is here, and He has called us to give Him all the glory. Amen. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come because we must. We come because we ought to. We come because we need to. We come because we long to. We come because in you we have a joy and a gladness we have never known before. We come because you are the Lord. Amen. Lord, we have come to worship you. You have touched and changed our lives. You are our reason for being here. You are our reason for being. Lord, there is no greater task to which you call us than to offer praises to your name. There is no higher ambition that can fill our hearts and minds than to lift up the King of Kings. There is no deeper love we can experience, and no wider mercy on offer anywhere than that which we find at the foot of the cross. We pray for all your people who have gathered to worship here and around the world. May your Spirit set us free from mere formality and empower us for worship full of free grace. Amen. And we have the hymn, How Great Thou Art. Thank you. We pray the collect for Proper 12, followed by our parish prayer. Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that, with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our parish prayer. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, A Slippery Slope. A Slippery Slope. The writer of the book of Genesis points us to the fact that sin entered God's perfect creation when Adam and Eve were disobedient to God. God said to the man and woman, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" Adam and Eve lost their focus on God and God's command, and as a result, they would succumb to the temptations of the devil and therefore focus on their own desires, which were not in keeping with God's will for them. God, in an attempt to rescue falling humankind, entered into a covenant with Abraham and his descendants. They would be God's people, and God would be their God. God was always faithful to Israel. Israel, however, very often broke the covenant by disobedience to God's law, the Ten Commandments, which were given to them by God through Moses. The law was given to enable Israel to become a holy nation, a kingdom of priests, a people set apart for God. However, time and time again, Israel turned their focus away from God and their special relationship with God. They worshipped the idol gods of their neighbors, therefore breaking the commandment, You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. Exodus chapter 20, verses 3, 4, and 5. Whenever the children of Israel forgot who they were, the chosen people of God, a holy nation, they were attracted to the idol gods of their neighbors and were disobedient to God's commandment. The writer of the book of Exodus records that when Moses ascended the holy mountain to receive the law on tablets of stone written with the finger of God, Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come, make gods for us who shall go before us." Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. Aaron gave instructions for the people to take off the gold rings that are on the ears of your wives, your sons and daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people took off their gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, formed it in a mold, and cast an image of a calf. And they said, "There are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." Exodus chapter 32, verses 2 to 4. It's obvious that sin comes from a loss of focus on God and one's relationship with God. Sin distorts our vision of ourselves and causes us to fall deeper into sin on a slippery slope. How could the ex-slaves accept a golden calf as their god? How could they believe that a golden calf, an inanimate object, could have bought them freedom from Egypt? Disobedience to God's word and God's will leads to further disobedience and increases our separation from God. In other words, sin leads to more sin and further separation from God. This phenomenon is illustrated in our first reading today from 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 to 14. The well-known story of David and Bathsheba. When the Israelites first clamored for a king, they refused to heed Samuel's warning about the danger of a monarchy. They said, "We are determined to have a king over us, so that we also may be like other nations, and that our king may govern us and go out before us and fight our battles." 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. Years later, when the northern tribes pledged their allegiance to David, they said, "Look, you are our bone and flesh. For some time, while Saul was king over us, it was you who led out Israel and brought it in." 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. In the people's eyes, a king's first responsibility was to lead the nation into battle and fight on their behalf. God assisted David and gave him victory over all his enemies. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 9. Therefore, in our reading for today from 2 Samuel chapter 11, David should have been at the head of the army out on the battlefield. Instead, the king was in Jerusalem. David was not where he was supposed to be. He neglected the task for which God had called him. He lost his focus on his task and therefore was open to the force of temptation. The king was about to find himself on the slippery slope of sin. While he was wandering about his house, neglecting the task given to him by God, David was easy prey to the sins of lust and covetousness. He set eyes on Bathsheba, the beautiful wife of Uriah the Hittite, sent for her, slept with her, and she became pregnant. In an effort to conceal his sin, David sends for Uriah in the hope that he will go home, sleep with his wife, and return to the battlefield none the wiser. David moves from lust to covetousness to idolatry to deceit. However, Uriah on two occasions, one of which David makes him drunk out of loyalty to his troops, who were intent on the battlefield did not go to the comfort of his house, but slept at the entrance of the king's house with the servants. Having failed to get Uriah to go home, David fell deeper on the slippery slope of sin. The writer of 2 Samuel records, "In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab, his general, and sent it by the hand of Uriah. In the letter he wrote, 'Set Uriah in the forefront of the hardest fighting, and then draw back from him so that he may be struck down and die.'" 2 Samuel 11, verses 14 and 15. He was ordering Uriah's death. He was ordering Joab, his general, to commit murder. David was getting more and more entangled in the web of sin. Lust, covetousness, adultery, deceit, and now murder. The king, who was called to protect the people of Israel, was looking after his selfish desires and ordering the death of one of his warriors to cover up his sins. How the beloved has fallen. Could he now be considered as a man after God's own heart? Certainly not. The fall of David should be an important lesson for all of us who call ourselves disciples of Christ, members of the new covenant, ministers in the church. God has called us. God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. As part of the body of Christ, each of us, all of us, have a ministry, a task to perform for God in this world. Whenever we lose our focus on our task, whenever we succumb to our selfish, self-centered desires, we will fall into sin and find ourselves on a slippery slope which leads to more sin as we separate ourselves further and further from the God of love who created us and called us into a special relationship. As we commit to faithfulness to God, we have to be aware that the tempter will become busy in our lives. The Gospel of Matthew tells us that after his baptism and affirmation as the beloved son, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus was tempted to use his power to satisfy his own needs, his physical hunger. He was tempted to be a spectacular Messiah, to do something outstanding to attract followers. He was tempted with power over many nations. Jesus was able to overcome all the temptations. How was he able to do this? By remaining focused on God and on the task that he came into the world to carry out for the Father. He would rely on the Word of God and the knowledge that he was called to worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus was focused on whom he was to worship and serve, and that was God the Father, not the devil. We can be certain that in these times, the tempter continues in subtle ways to strive to turn us away from our task, our ministry for God in the world. Like David, we have to beware of success and not let it cause us to become complacent and lose our focus. Let us keep the word of God not only on our lips, but in our hearts. We are called to reflect on Paul's words from the letter to the Ephesians in our daily activities. Paul writes, "I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are rooted and grounded in love." Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. As we allow Christ to dwell in our hearts, as we focus on our ministry for God in love, the Holy Spirit will strengthen our faith and enable us to stand firm in the face of the temptations of the devil, therefore keeping us from that slippery slope of sin. Amen. And so we pray. Preserve us this day from the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Suffer us not to fall into idle habits, and if diligent in business, suffer not our hearts to be so engrossed that we may serve you, the Lord, and grant that your presence may be with us, giving us peace in our souls all the day long through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Grant, O God, that we may keep a constant guard upon our thoughts and passions, that they may never lead us into sin, that we may live in perfect love with all of humankind, in affection to those that love us, and in forgiveness of those, if any there are, that hate us. Give us good and virtuous friends. In the name of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Suffer us, O God, never to think that we have knowledge enough to need no teaching, wisdom enough to need no correction, talents enough to need no grace, goodness enough to need no progress, humility enough to need no repentance, devotion enough to need no quickening, strength sufficient without your Spirit, lest, standing still, we fall back forevermore. Amen. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. And we have the hymn, Hear My Cry, O Lord. Pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the costs, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, we pray that God will continue to make us instruments of God's peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And may God be your comfort and your strength, God your hope and support, God be your light and your way, and the blessing of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life, remain with you now and forever. Amen. And so we pray that you will have a rewarding, productive, Spirit-filled week. Remember to worship, wash your hands, wear your mask, watch your distance. If you have not yet received it, go and get your vaccine, and please be safe. Jesus.